Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome back to the Quack Report. We're here with another episode. Normally when we're doing our live episodes, so if you are checking this out the next day and you're like, what? I thought they usually do this live. We're not today, just because there's a game on super late and we're old. We've got a...
School's kicking our ass right now.
Yeah. we got bedtimes. So yeah. We're recording it just before this game here so that we can catch a little bit of it. But
yeah, dead ass. I have like 12 things for school in the next, like by next Wednesday at the latest.
And as soon as you said 12 things, I like shuddered a little bit.
Yeah, that includes 3 exams, 2 quizzes, and the rest are assignments. Yeah.
Fun. Very
like,
fun.
I love the profs that are like, you know what? I'll have everything finished. Like you don't have to actually write any final exams during exam time. Like, we'll just be done this. I appreciate that. But then it makes it really stressful when most of your profs do that and everything is just crunch time, right? So
yeah.
Like, I have one exam that's during the exam time, which, I mean, it is nice in a way because then, you know.
Done like, a little bit earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Like, besides the one exam, I'm going to be done by December 8th. I'll have like a month off. It's great. But on the other hand, it's like, holy fuck, I am stressed right now.
Yeah.
There is no time for sleep.
Yeah.
You just purely... This is some free advertising. Like, you're purely run on Monster or something like that. Like, just
Nate's trying to get out here trying to get a sponsorship.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They just like send him 12 packs every day.
Dude, I wish. That'd be great. Oh man. The thing is though, is like these like give me like a tiny bit of a pick me up, but other than that, they don't really do shit all for me. Like, just caffeine in general, I need a good amount of it. Like, I think I figured out the one time that it was like it took like 3 large coffees at like from Tim's. In order to like just get me a little shaky, even like I
which
just
is
have a,
not apparent, how it's supposed to be.
No, but like I just have like a yeah, it's like a crazy tolerance apparently. Like I took a I drove up to Calgary for the Flames and Pens on Monday, and I was feeling a little tired, and so like I grabbed like I knew I'd need one for the drive home at least, right? So I grabbed some energy drink, but they had like a 2 for like a buy one get one whatever price kind of thing, right? So I grabbed the 2, and so I drank the 1 on the way up actually, and drank the 1 on the way back, and I still had to step out of my car to kind of wake myself up in the cold air. I'm like, geez, why?
Man, that's
and like I still went to bed when I got home and everything like that, like fine. So it's a little scary. Like, it is, but like at the same time, at least it's not like, you know, have a Monster and you're just absolutely wired. So and that I think that's part of the reason that I have to do like I guess I don't anymore, just with the kind I'm on, it's a little bit much, but like I used to like dry scoop my pre-workout. And especially like I prefer to actually work out before I eat, which probably isn't the best depending on kind of what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
But I just prefer to do that. I don't feel full bloated kind of whatever, right? And so I'll just like do it like that. But you really start to feel it when you have nothing in your system and you dry scoop it. So like it's because it's not mixed with the water or anything like that, right? It's just literally pure caffeine going into you. It feels like ants are like under your skin and stuff like that. And so like you got to start working out quickly once you do it because it does hit fast. Otherwise you're going to feel that. So, long story short, it takes a lot of caffeine apparently to really get me going. So
yeah, apparently I've taken a couple weeks off of coffee. Like just recently, and I had I got a large like just the other day, just a large coffee from the coffee shop on campus, and I got it before class. I drank
good stuff.
I drank half of it during class, and by about halfway through class, so like 45 minutes, it was relatively slow, and like man, did it just like hit me like a freight train, like with it being the first like hit of caffeine. Like, oh man, I was like sitting there. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I was like, do I like raise my hand and tell my prof to call 911? Like, what the fuck is going
on? What's going on?
Yeah. I was like, or maybe I should just like run to the hospital. And then I just like chugged water and like chilled out a little bit. And then I was good. But I was like, okay, that's that was a lot. Let's ease back into this a little bit. So
okay, this is 100% a local thing. There definitely needs to be some background to this if we go along with this for a quick second here. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Urban Market for a quick second? This is a very local thing.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. It applies to, I think, every university and college campus ever.
But I mean, like, this is horrible, dude. Like, this is so bad. So for context, there's basically like a meme page for the, man, okay, hopefully we don't get in trouble by the school. I mean, that would kind of suck considering how much money I've put into that place. So at the U of L, the like on campus, it's not the cafeteria, I guess, but like, I don't know, what would you even call it?
No, I'd call it just a cafeteria.
Yeah, kind of a cafeteria, I guess. But it's not like the one that's like has all the different places, right? Like, it's all under one thing. But yeah, it's called Urban Market. And especially lately, there have been a crap ton of memes coming out from like just about, you know, people's food, specifically medium rare chicken that's been served.
Oh, that's their specialty,
that's
honestly.
That's the specialty. And it's fucking horrendous. And I mean, what, we've been going to that school now for 7 years, and like it dates back at least to then. Like, it's been at least that long. And like, from what I've seen, it's been about a decade. So we're like a little bit before us kind of thing, potentially. That is horrible that it's taken that long to, so the end result basically was that a petition got made recently to like actually do something about their quality control and whatnot. And so they've recently fired their executive chef here and like are gonna have like Alberta Health Services and like people just basically making sure that everything is actually cooked. Like, that's not even wild.
I actually didn't hear about this at all. So
the executive chef got fired the other day.
Wow.
Let me pull it up because there was an email that went out. Let me find this here quickly for everybody.
Yeah. Like, I know that this isn't a local thing either. I've seen like other people post like their cafeteria food.
But like, this has been
this has been awful.
Right? We see it so much, unfortunately.
Yeah. But if anyone else has like pictures of awful food that they've been served by, it doesn't even have to be like a school cafeteria. Just like any like kind of shitty restaurant that's just served you, like, for example, medium rare chicken.
And like it just no matter what kind of chicken product it was, if it was a chicken sandwich, like chicken strips, like grilled, crispy, didn't matter, right? There was at least once a week, there was something going out that was like medium rare chicken. It's like, dude, what? No, right? Yeah. And I mean, like, there's other issues with this on-campus establishment and whatnot as well, like their prices and whatnot. There's one of our old profs, shout out to Benta here, had even put on her Facebook. It was like they looked bland, like chicken skewers. They were apparently teriyaki, but they did not look like they were seasoned or anything, like just plain chicken. At least they look cooked. And like white rice. And she was like, this is cold. There's no seasoning or anything on it. Apparently, it's supposed to be like teriyaki or whatever. And this cost me $15. Oh, I'm like, what?
It's rice.
Yeah, like rice and a little bit of chicken.
Like cube chicken. Yeah.
Exactly. It was horrible. Okay, so I found the email. So this was the district manager, I guess, for like the company that works within Urban Market, like this cafeteria area. Hello, residents. In lieu of recent quality issues at Urban Market and following an on-site investigation, the executive chef is no longer employed with Chartwell's, and all associates are being retrained in food safety standards. The Compass Group Canada HSQA director, health safety, I'm assuming, and Alberta Health Services will be on site this week. Sincerely. Like holy shit. My favorite part, though, is in lieu of recent quality issues. Nah, this has been happening for 10 years, man. Like,
I mean, 10 years compared to how long has this university been around for? Like 60?
Yeah, 50. I think it, or 50. 50 or 60? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 55. I mean,
sure,
yeah,
recent kids in that, but like, it's not recent at all, dude. Like, that is horrible.
Yeah.
So, all right. There's your question of the week, Carter. Have you been served medium rare chicken at Urban Market at the University of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's like, that's so horrible.
Yeah. I wouldn't say medium rare. It was like the one where it had like a little bit of pink. in the middle. So like you ate like, you know, halfway through and then you're like, oh, there's like a little bit in there. And then you kind of pull it apart and you realize the other end is like mostly fine. So well, I'm not going to die. But
There was a picture that had went out recently. Like, okay, you know that I do like to eat my steak blue rare at times, right? Mm-hmm. Like this wasn't even medium rare chicken. This was blue rare chicken, like just the outside seared and throw it on a piece of bread.
Yeah,
like, it was horrible. So, but unfortunately, you know, the meme pages for you, Lether, you know, they're obviously excited for everybody, right? To not hopefully have to eat medium rare chicken anymore.
Have to risk food poisoning every day for dinner. Yeah.
And especially too, because like in that part of campus, they just closed the only other two food establishments in that area, right? So like you would literally have to walk across campus, which is honestly like a solid 10 to 15 minute walk potentially.
Uphill.
Yeah, uphill as well, actually. Yeah. Like, we're not exaggerating that. It is straight up uphill. Just to get like another thing of food. Like that, that's horrid. So, and like, I mean, hopefully those prices get brought down as well. I saw one thing. It was just like a tiny, I don't even know what it was, a tiny thing. But because it had vegan written on it, the thing was like $10.
Yeah.
Like it was like a snack, essentially. I'm like, what? No.
Yeah.
So as much as, you know, they're happy that, you know, their fellow students don't have to eat medium rare chicken anymore. It's a little bit of loss of content for them too, right? So,
yeah. Speaking of getting served up medium rare, though, Ducks beating the Ottawa Senators 4-0. Just bending them over, giving it to them raw. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god!
Nailed it. Let's go.
Where's that drum fill right now? Not the one I was talking about.
No, I know.
You know what I meant?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I did it. I segued us.
All right, I'll keep it going.
I just really wanted to talk about this game because Stolarz's performance was amazing, having not played in weeks. I don't even know the last game he was in.
I think it was 3 weeks they were saying on. I was listening to the radio broadcast because I was driving to my girlfriend's place for American Thanksgiving, so I think they said it was 3 weeks on that broadcast.
We've got to go back. Did you get served any medium rare turkey on Thanksgiving, or was it
No, my girlfriend's family is great with quality control, luckily.
Wow. Okay, that's good.
So her family is so big though that like we had two massive turkeys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, plus ham. Like it, dude.
Oh,
like,
and a ham.
Yeah, whoa, and a ham, dude. And it was. Oh man. Okay. Her. Yeah, I think her oldest sister did the glaze on it. Oh, perfect. Shout out Aurora for the glaze on the ham there. That was so good. So
nice. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up again. But yeah, 3 weeks for Stolarz not playing in a game and he shuts out the Sens. Sorry,
I was just gonna say there's also two types of potatoes.
Nice.
Actually, no, sorry, three if you're counting sweet potatoes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because there was mashed and scalloped as well. So yeah, like American Thanksgiving goes all out. Like they were joking at first, and they're like, "Yeah, we're just doing a ham." And I'm like, "American Thanksgiving, not with like with no turkey? What?" I'm like, "This is you're lying." And they're like, "Yeah, we're lying." Sorry, go ahead now.
Okay, you were saying Stolarz hadn't played in 3 weeks, hadn't played a game,
something like that. It was like 2.5 or 3 weeks. Yeah,
yeah, and he just goes and I mean, it's the Sens, like they're
hurting.
They're a decent team, but. They just came off COVID protocols.
Yeah.
They ended up losing 7-5 to the Avalanche a couple of nights before. No, it wasn't Matt Murray in net. It was Forsberg was in net. So, I mean,
we'll get to Murray here in a second.
And I mean, I think Forsberg's a better goalie than Murray, at least right now. Well, definitely right now.
Numbers going into that game were actually worse.
considering how many games he's played too. Like it hasn't really been that many. He's had a few bad games. I don't know.
Check.
Personally, not saying numbers at all. I'm just saying like from the eye test and like the players I actually like, I like Forsberg better.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm going to interject here for a quick second. By the time everybody listens to this, this is going to be old news, obviously. But Ryan Getzlaf will miss tonight's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. He was injured in last night's game. So,
Which again, we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But that's, I don't know. I still thought Forsberg made some big saves. It really looked just kind of like the team in front of him wasn't bailing him out. And we scored some nice goals too. Like, I don't know. He still made some good saves. It could have been 6 or 7-0, honestly. But But so, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like the biggest, I want to say goalie battle, but it's really not, but it kind of had that feeling to it, you know?
Like it. Oh yeah. Sorry. You're talking in particular to this game. I thought you were talking about the Senators in general and all being a goalie battle.
Right oh now. No. Yeah. this game in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From what I was like able to gather, obviously from listening to it, it's a little bit harder to not, you know, be able to watch it kind of thing. And, but you know, did my best and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it sounded like both goalies were playing great. And yeah, kind of what you were saying as well, that, you know, just Forsberg wasn't getting the help in front and that kind of thing. And the Ducks just kind of ran with it. So especially in, I believe it was that third period, they had two goals, if I'm not mistaken. Just remembering that off the top of my head.
I thought it was three, but you're right, it could be two.
Let me take a look here. It was the third. Yep. Yeah. Or sorry, the second period. Yep. Derek second Grant period, yep. and Troy Terry. With Isaac Lundstrom in the first period, Ricard Raquel in the third. Good old Rick Rack Pettyback.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really fun. A fun game to watch. And you know, get scoring from kind of all across the lineup, power play, different guys scoring, like all that stuff. So it was very exciting. And yeah, obviously seeing Stolarz was good as well. I'm glad that they got him back into a game considering, well, I guess tonight when we're recording against Vegas, it's the second half of a back-to-back. And I believe next week we have a back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday as well. So,
yeah.
I think it's good to get him into one non-back-to-back game first, and then we'll probably see him this week and next week as well. Well, I mean, he is playing against Vegas.
Yeah, well, sorry, so. you brought up. Okay. All right. Interesting. Sounds good. I just kind of realized, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is like a back-to-back, obviously, like, yeah, the game was last night, and I'm like, okay, but Gibson started last night. Are they doing back-to-back gimmies? But no, they're going with Stolarz against the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll see how that happens. So it's either you're listening to this right now because the game's already obviously happened. This is the next day that you're listening to this, and you're going, you know, no, this was a good thing. Or you're going, yeah, that fucking sucked.
Yeah. I mean, those are the only two options, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, I got confidence in Stolarz, obviously.
Oh,
there was only, like, really the one game against Edmonton, and even then, you couldn't even fully blame that on him, I don't think. No. But the rest of the games that he's played this year have been good games from him, so I'm not too worried, at least. So.
Yeah, he's honestly, like, the perfect backup. He, like we saw, he can sit for 3 weeks and come in and just, like, have a phenomenal game. So
yeah. What is it with the Pacific Division this year in backups? Because you got us with Stolarz. Mm-hmm. You got in Calgary with Dan Vladar, who's got like a 940 something in save percentage right now with two shutouts, I believe. Mm-hmm. Hell, even in Edmonton, Stuart Skinner just kind of coming out of nowhere.
He came out of nowhere,
right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're paying attention to hockey, like north of the border, that sort of thing, like you knew who this guy was, Stuart Skinner. But I don't think people were expecting quite this, so it's been good. So,
I mean, Vancouver we can safely ignore, but
well, Demko has. I guess who's
Demko's not the backup.
Though. Oh, it's Halak. Yeah, no, sorry, I was thinking goalies in general, but that's. Can you blame that on goaltending though? That's like the one saving grace that they have right now. The rest of the team is playing dog shit though. Like that is horrible, and I hope for Canucks fans, obviously, that. You guys are out of that situation very soon.
Yeah, I know they're playing right now. I wonder how that game is going. I don't even know.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look what the score is.
Oh, they're actually winning. They're playing the Sens, but...
Oh. Yeah, they played the Montreal Canadiens the other night as well, only winning 2-1, and it was like, ooh, like, great, you got to win. Good for you, but like, it was only 2-1 against the Sens.
Yeah.
So, who also... We won't touch on this for very long, but they also just fired Mark Bergevin and others, right? So
That was a big move.
There's a lot of changeover. This whole weekend has just been really interesting. Honestly, so
if
I wasn't driving for like 8 hours on the Sunday, we would have done an episode and talked about all this shit then. But
a lot's
happened in the last few days.
Yeah, no, definitely. The one thing, too, about the Habs firing Bergevin, they hired Jeff Gorton. I forget the position that they hired him for.
Executive vice president, I believe, what it was.
Yeah. There was talk, they were talking on 32 Thoughts afterwards, that they were kind of speculating that, he might go to Anaheim in the offseason. And a couple other markets as
Bergevin you're talking about.
Mm-mm, no, Jeff Gorton.
Oh, I thought Gordon had signed like a long-term deal with Montreal.
Yes, he did, but prior to that.
Oh, prior to that. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I got mixed up there for a second. Gotcha. I'm going to listen back to this and be like, Nate, you're a fucking idiot.
That's okay. It's all good.
Then again, I'm probably used to it, myself every hour. So
yeah. So I don't know. I don't know much about him, but he's obviously been in the – I know he's been in the league for a while. And, yeah, if they were saying he might join the Ducks, then – yeah, that might not have been a bad thing, but obviously you don't get him now.
Yeah, if you want a good idea of Jeff Gordon, look at the last, I think it's like 5 years of the New York Rangers. You got a pretty good idea of Jeff Gordon.
Right, oh yeah. There.
So yeah.
Yeah, and they've looked pretty good. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that does mean Bergevin is available.
Yeah, I don't see him coming to Anaheim. I do agree that the place he's probably going is Vancouver. So they're just kind of bidding their time a little bit more, I think. Yeah. So, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, yeah.
I do really like Marc Bergevin. I think he's very good at building a team. I think it wouldn't be as fast of a rebuild as maybe Duck fans would like. He very much likes to take his time, but in the end, it ends up being really, really useful. So
I wonder if he would come to Anaheim though, because like you said, it's a little bit of a longer rebuild. But if you kind of look at it, how we're at least playing right now, we got to jump on it. So there's not really a whole lot. Like, there's still some things to fix, obviously, and some growth to happen, but
yeah,
we're not that far off as you would have maybe thought last year, kind of thing, right? So it's it seems that way right now. We can look at this at the end of the season and be like, wow, I was wrong on that.
Yeah.
Again, Nate, you're a fucking idiot, but so yeah, I wonder if like that would kind of be enticing, right? Of like, you just have to do a little bit of work and then you just got to maintain like a good team again, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but similar to kind of, I guess, what he did in Montreal, because he kind of inherited he inherited Price, really. That's really the only guy there, and then made a bunch of other moves, like bringing Weber in. And,
Yeah,
no, he did that, but like really, he built that whole team. He took the time to develop what's his name, Caulfield. Acquired Suzuki from
Vegas for Pacioretty. Yeah.
So like kind of just those long-term deals that when you look at them, you're like, what the fuck are you doing? But like,
he made a lot of big deals. Like you can find at least one every year for like the 8 years that he was the GM in Montreal there. So there's at least one massive deal that he made that's for the most part worked out for Montreal. So I think the biggest question mark one was, I mean, it could kind of be tied if it was the Carey Price one, like that massive signing that he did, because that didn't look good very early on, or the straight up one for one Weber for Subban one, right? And that didn't look good early on either, because it was Subban helping Nashville get to the Stanley Cup final that first year he was there. So
And then he fell off a fucking cliff. Like I the only time I hear about Subban now is like when he slew foots somebody in the corner.
Yeah, or he puts
which
out
seems to happen every few weeks.
Or he puts out an exclusive shoe with Adidas. So
yeah, I don't even follow Adidas or the shoe market, so I don't even hear then. But yeah, Weber obviously really panned out for them. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, even if last year was the last year for him, right? Which I wouldn't blame the guy for retiring, honestly. Like the guy's banged up so much, and that's what happens obviously when you play that type of style. That's not me saying he should have been playing a different type of style, don't take me wrong on that. It was fun as hell to watch Shea Weber. I was about to say PK Subban. It's been fun to watch him as well though, right? It definitely takes a toll on your body, obviously. So it's and that's honestly kind of one of the reasons that I'm even surprised that Ryan Getzlaf came back this year. I thought he might have just rode off into the sunset, honestly, but he's looked a little rejuvenated, obviously not right now being out with the LBI, but we don't know how long that's going to be or what it is or anything like that just yet at the time of this recording. But
Where did I hear this? I don't remember where it was, but it was an interview with Getzlaf where he said when he was like considering coming back or not this offseason, he kind of looked at Jason Spezza's game and like how he kind of adapted to play when he was older. And I guess Spezza changed his stick like a couple of years back as well. And Getzlaf did that this offseason. I think it was for like a more flexible stick so that he could get like a wrist shot off a little quicker or, you know, line up for some one timers, and apparently it's worked out because he's looked really good. But there was he kind of modeled his new game, we'll call it, after like the Jason Spezza of the last couple of years. So
yeah, that's been a few things with you know, the, for lack of a better term, older generation in the NHL, right? They have had to adapt their game because the game as a whole has changed.
Yeah.
The biggest proponent right now of that, though, I think, is Alexander Ovechkin. He's been going off, and I believe at the time of this recording, if you look at like where he's shot from and everything like that, there's only one of his goals that's been from the Ovi spot, right?
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Like the guy's playing like he's in his mid-20s kind of thing. Like it's ridiculous right now. So I really want him to beat Gretzky's record. I'm just throwing that out there. I want to see it happen. I think we're going to see it happen a lot sooner than we thought. I was thinking the fifth year of that 5-year contract he just signed, and now it's like, yeah, it might even be next year. If he just goes off, because I believe as of like it was yesterday or something like that, the guy was on pace for 71 goals, I think it was, this year. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? At 36. Okay, sure.
Could you imagine? Like, dude, even if he puts up 60 goals this year, that's an insane... Nuts. Even 50 would be an insane number for him at this age.
Like, if you were to tell me that Alex Ovechkin would score 50 goals at 36, like, before this season even, I'd have been like, maybe not 50.
Yeah.
Like, 35, 40. You could definitely do it. Mm-hmm. But 50 plus that he's on pace for, like 71 obviously, like is the pace right now, but like I'd have been like, no, like that doesn't happen, especially at that age, with again going back even to the way he plays, right? Like that doesn't happen. What the hell?
Yeah.
So it's been an entertaining year in the NHL, that's for sure, so far.
Yeah,
I guess we are past the quarter mark now, so you can kind of like look back on some of this and say like some of it might actually be sustainable. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that Ovi goals projection or pace is definitely, I think, sustainable. So
yeah, I think it's like 130 some points is like what he's projected for as well. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess you do have to pace that for 81 games, not 82 games, because you know he's going to miss
he's going to be skipping the All-Star break. All-Star.
Yeah.
I wonder though, with it being in Vegas, if maybe he'll go.
I don't know. If I was, I mean, I am kind of a betting man, but if you could put money on whether or not Ovechkin goes to the All-Star game or not, I would put it on no.
I don't think
he loves that break.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I just kind of wonder though, right? Like, I guess it all depends with COVID rules and stuff like that too, just with like trying to go to the Olympics and everything like that. Because I believe it's January 10th, so we have just over a month for the NHL to back out if they feel they need to without any financial penalty, essentially, of the Olympics.
Which I really hope they don't.
Yeah, the NHL did put out a thing the other day, though, to teams of like, these are kind of some restrictions we're imposing, basically to allow you to go to the Olympics, right? So like holiday stuff is kind of limited and whatnot for them, but...
Yeah.
I feel like for like especially the players obviously that are projected or who are trying to get to the Olympics, they'll be better with doing it, right? Because they're already willing to take the risk to go to China, right, and play play for their countries, right? So
yeah, with how huge of an opportunity that is, like for a lot of these guys, it might be their one and only opportunity.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, with the last one being 8 years ago, like the last chance, right? So
yeah, exactly. And like a lot of the guys that are entering their prime now weren't able to go 8 years ago, and who knows if they're going to be able to go in 4 years, right? So
yeah, with the 2018 Olympics not having NHL participation. I forget what show this was brought up on, and I kind of wondered about it too. Was that the missed chance for Steven Stamkos?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them. I could see him maybe making it this year. It would be tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's made the teams on the past, though, but he's never been in the lineup or that kind of thing. He's always been that spare, right? So
yeah,
it's one thing to make the team. It's another to be on the team, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, but, gee, sorry.
that's okay. We have one more game to talk about, but I realized that we're a lot later into this episode than I initially thought. So let's take a quick break here, and then we'll talk about the Ducks' a little bit more recent win against the rival LA Kings on the other side.
Yeah. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. And with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all of the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, let's talk about the 5-4 shootout win against the LA Kings here.
All right.
Because that was, it was kind of an exciting game, but also kind of not an exciting
scary
game.
Scary for that first period.
Yeah, it was a good rivalry game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, it definitely was. But yeah, that first period did not look good for the Ducks. Like, that looked, that kind of scared me again. That looked like the Ducks of last year. Mm-hmm. With just, like, you know, not a whole lot of shot chances, just being completely outrun after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And even that third period was a little scary as well, because we got a decent lead
at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a decent lead and came back. So,
but goal lead, most dangerous lead in hockey. You
know? Yeah. I was just a little conflicted. Do you blame that on Gibson, or do you blame that on the team in front of him kind of giving up a bit, thinking that they had it?
Or a bit of both? I think you have to do a little bit of both, yeah. Because you could definitely see the team sitting back a little bit, which is nothing new. They've been doing that for a while. And I don't know. I think, you know what? You can't really blame Gibson on those goals, thinking back on it, because two of them were tips. And one of them was him making the first shot, and then there was two guys in front, or two Kings in front of him that banged home the rebound, and only one Duck that didn't get them out of there. So I have a tough time blaming Gibson on that one, and I want to blame the team more so. But so, yeah, I don't know. I literally just can't think of how you could blame Gibson on that besides being like, why didn't you just make a spectacular save of the year, Candy, type of save, like, which isn't fair.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. What do you think?
Definitely wasn't the Gibson we're used to seeing in that last little bit. I think
he might have
slacked a little. Like, he might have slacked a little bit also. So I'd say it's a bit more of both.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, when Gibson slacks off, he's just like a slightly above average goaltender.
He's just average kind of thing, right? Yeah. But if you have an average goaltender with a not great front presence, is not going to end well for you, kind of thing, right? Yeah. So, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I really don't know what to say, but it's easy to blame the whole team. So that's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
but obviously we did end up getting the win. Obviously you hate giving up the loser point to a division rival, and B, just your rival in general, right? But it is exciting, and I don't know. We still got the extra point, so
yeah, that's fair. Really we wanted in the shootout there, right? So we still came away with the 2 points, but we gave the Kings a point, which is a little disappointing. But
yeah, there were some filthy moves in the shootout on both sides.
Oh yeah, honestly. There were.
Oh man, that was nice to see.
Yeah, but, And can we just talk about Shattenkirk being like, everybody get on my back, I got this shit?
Yeah.
Both for like the goal that he had earlier in the game, along with the shootout. Like,
yeah,
don't worry, boys. I got this. The second line defenseman or third line defenseman, depending on the night.
Yeah,
like, don't worry, guys. I got this. Like,
yeah, elite sniper, Kevin Shattenkirk. Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Put that guy on the wings,
Trev. Troy, you guys could just sit down for a moment. Get Slav, you're already in the locker room anyway. It's fine. I got this shit.
Yeah. Like both of his goals were sniped from like the circles.
Yeah, that first that like goal in regulation there. I was like, sorry, that was Shattenkirk?
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from? Why can't we have that more? Please.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, I'm not complaining at all. And
yeah,
you're saying, can we have that more? Like, I think we are seeing that more. Like, he's how many goals does he have this season?
Shattenkirk has.
He's got to be at close to 10 now. Right? Right?
Gotta be like right up on my iPad because I don't have my glasses on. I can't see shit.
I don't know.
I'll be honest with everybody here. They are in my car. I'm just too lazy to run outside.
Yeah. He has 5 goals.
Yeah, so 5 goals and 11 assists right now for 16 points in 23 games. Not bad.
No, not at all. Like, what did he have last season? Wasn't that.
He's already beat his points for the year.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Compared to last year.
What did he have, 16 points?
He had 15. He had 2 goals and 13 assists in 55 games. Right now, he has 16 points in 23.
Yeah, so, like...
And even the season before, like, it looks like he's on pace to even beat last year, potentially. Or, sorry, 2 seasons ago when he was with the Tampa Bay Lightning. In 70 games, he had 8 goals, 26 assists for 34 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's on he's on pace to beat it.
I think he was
easily.
I think he was playing on that second power play unit in Tampa as well.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. So obviously a bit of a boost there, and I mean he's playing on our second power play unit too. But they're not comparable. So
no, that's very much not.
Yeah, at least not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, but not yet.
But yeah, no, that was great to see. I loved that. That was a very fun game, for sure. Yeah, the young guys scoring, Shattenkirk getting in and on it and having some fun as well. So obviously sucked to see Getzlaff go down though. I'm still not entirely sure what it is. It sounds like an ankle injury.
Sure. Let me see if there was something that got posted on Twitter here. Oh, okay. Good that I saw that. Come on. Yeah. Get the updates with the Ducks tweet. What the hell? There it is.
Okay. Yeah. No, there hasn't been much. So I'd be very surprised if you found anything, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not seeing anything right now. It was just like with the lineup. Mm-hmm. The captain's out tonight, lower body, here's who we fly with.
Yeah, so hopefully nothing too serious for him.
Quick bit of news as well that the Ducks have recalled Buddy Robinson from the San Diego Gulls.
Oh, I forgot we have him. Ooh.
Yeah. That's a big body dude who does have some speed to him, don't get me wrong. He's not just a big body. Like he can't contribute, he just doesn't get much of a chance to, I guess. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Anything else really to say about this game against the Kings?
Nothing really.
Okay, let's quickly talk about some preliminary World Junior rosters, because those are coming up and really just
I'm excited
at the end of this month. Dude, we got like 3 weeks till World Juniors.
The fuck is this year gone?
Yeah,
It felt like 2 months ago we were just talking about Trevor Zegras lighting it up with Team USA for a gold medal.
Yeah, right?
And we're already here again. What? Yeah.
Do the World Juniors actually start at Christmas time this year?
That I don't know, actually.
I would assume so. I don't know why they would start at any other time. That's when they always do. But I forgot it's in Edmonton too.
I was gonna say, how did we not grab tickets for any of these games?
Oh, dude, it's sold out so fast.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah, this was supposed to be last year too, right? So
yeah,
exactly. Those people still get it. Yeah. I'd be curious to see what like the resale value on some of these games are, like even just like ones of like Austria and Switzerland or something like that.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, no, it starts on December 26th. Boxing Day, as usual, and ends on the 5th. Sweet. So yeah, that's normal. Yeah, very excited. This is one of my favorite tournaments to watch. Yeah, this
so
is
like, good.
This is like the one time a year where I'm like, there's nothing that can prevent me from watching hockey right now.
Yeah,
it's this time of year and like Stanley Cup final seven.
Dude, we are going to be spoiled over the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Like you have NHL hockey, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have the World Juniors. We're going to have the All-Star game. And hopefully, knock on wood, NHL participation at the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's just December, January, February.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, man.
Yeah. And then a few months later, we got like Stanley Cup playoffs again. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be awesome. Starting
at normal time again.
Mm-hmm.
So throw the TV outside on the deck.
Yeah.
Watch some playoff hockey. Hopefully the Ducks are in it. That'd be
hopefully.
Nice.
It's looking like they're going to be in the mix anyways, which is good.
It is past American Thanksgiving. And let me take a look at the standings. Yeah.
Are we still third?
Third.
Nice.
Let's hope.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, you got San Jose right on our tail here. One game back with an extra loss. But we have the two overtime points as well. So,
oh yes,
we're 2 points ahead, but with the extra game played. So,
okay, yeah, no, it's going to be close, and it looks like there still could be a chance of the wild card. So,
yeah,
World Juniors, going back to that. Yes. Canada and USA both released their rosters recently. Here,
so. Go Canada. I'm sorry if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know we're Canadian. Go Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Right here.
I want redemption for last year.
It's right here.
Yeah. I want redemption for last year.
Absolutely. But looks like we got to have a pretty good chance with Mason McTavish being named to the preliminary roster. And I'd be very surprised if he doesn't make it.
And Olin Zellweger. I want to throw him out there too.
Yeah. Which, for those of you that don't remember, our second round pick from this last year.
Let's go.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good. There's some good names on the roster as well. Cole Perfetti.
Yeah.
If the Jets let him go, Connor Bedard, who's supposed to be the big name in a couple of years. Shane Wright as well, next year's first.
Oh my God.
Who's the Sebastian Kosa? Is that the goaltender's name? I've got it.
I believe so.
Yeah, drafted by Detroit. I think he played last tournament, and I remember him being good.
Yeah.
Maybe I've seen him somewhere else. I don't remember. But there was a couple other names I wanted to say. Oh, Caden Gooley as well. Owen Power. That's the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
As well as various other junior names. So I recognize a few, but they're not super common. So
with Canada, it's the mentality, but legitimateness as well of them against the world. Mm-hmm. Right. So
I'm so excited for that.
We'll see if they just get in their own way again, kind of thing. And they had it rough last year with, losing Kirby Doc as well. Mm-hmm. In the exhibition games and whatnot. So
yeah, but yeah, I fully expect McTavish to pop off because he got the taste of the NHL and knows what it takes, and he's gonna know he's gonna play hard after that. Now he went back to the OHL and got a hat trick with the Peets like just a couple games in, or was it his first game back?
I think it was his first or second.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So and now he's gonna go into the World Juniors and just. I can light it up. I just know it. I can feel it.
He's gonna line up against some Swiss center and be like, "Yo, you want to see something I learned in the NHL? A place you'll never be."
Man, I hope so. Oh, that reminds me.
We gotta bring back the clips of the coach from a couple of years ago. Those were hilarious.
That was so good. Yeah.
Well, they have like, was it like 12 first round picks, and the rest are all in the second. We got one guy in the third round. One.
Yeah. That's good. That was a very old What's Quacking.
Yeah, so it was.
Yeah.
So, we got to bring that back, though. It's always funny.
Throwing it back to a more recent What's Quacking, though, where we showed the clip of Zegras, where he bet Draisaitl $100 on the face-off. there was an interview with Draisaitl a few days ago, and apparently Zegras did actually send him the $100. So that's awesome.
At least he pays up.
Yeah, exactly. Where were we? Oh yeah, Team USA. We've got a couple guys on there as well, a couple Anaheim draft picks. The big name, obviously, Ian Moore, the 2020 third round pick.
Yeah.
Going to play for Team USA. Like
that's the first. That's the guy you're leading this with?
What? You got a problem with Ian Moore?
No, I don't have a problem with Ian Moore, but you're really going to lead it off with Ian Moore and not Sasha Pastajov?
Yeah, it's subverting expectations, man. That's how you do comedy.
I'm pulling up his stats right now because he is lighting it up right now with the Guelph Storm and the OHL.
J.K. Simmons thought I was funny.
Oh, quick sidetrack. Did you get tickets for No Way Home?
No, I didn't bother.
You should maybe check.
No, I guarantee they're probably sold out, but I didn't want to bother, you know, waiting on for a crashed website to figure its shit out. So.
Okay, you know what? I'm pulling up two separate things at the same time, actually. I'm going to pull up Sasha Pastajov's stats right now, and I'm going to see if there's any showings right now at the any seats for the showing that I'm going to here. Let's take a look.
But yeah, Sasha Pastajov, obviously the big name for the Team USA, getting named there. He's been lighting it up with the Guelph Storm. We looked before, like 32 points in 20 some games this season. Like he's having a good season. So very excited to watch McTavish and Pastajov and probably Zellweger and Moore as well. But that would be good.
Yeah. So currently in 21 games, he's got 18 goals, 14 assists for 32 points.
Yeah, no, that's insane. It's been so good.
Oh, and also, there are tickets available for the showing that I'm going to, which is the Thursday night premiere at 10 p.m. So,
okay, sick.
There are tickets available.
I will literally buy those as soon as we're done this podcast.
Sweet.
So,
yeah, I normally would do like the Friday, like the actual opening day. Mm-hmm. But one, this is going to be a massive movie, right? Very quick, what's quacking here, I guess. Or no, sorry, Quack Report. Yeah. This is a massive movie. I don't want to get spoiled for it at all. I already had one friend who's like, yeah, I got like the 6 o'clock showing. And so he's a huge Haley Steinfeld fan who's playing Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series that's going on right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, that's his celebrity crush. And I'm like, it was James Johnson from the Barnburner Show.
Yeah.
He's a massive fan of Haley Steinfeld there. That's a celebrity crush, and I straight up said, so he got the 6 p.m. tickets. I got the 10 p.m. tickets. I'm like, James, if you spoil any of this, I will make sure you never have a chance with Haley.
So, that's crazy that they're doing a 6 o'clock one. Like, I get why they do 10 o'clock here because then it's like midnight on the East Coast, which is like kind of the release. But I feel like they just keep slowly moving back times. Like, eventually it's like, this movie comes out officially on the Friday, but for like the super duper fans that like you can get this massive bag of popcorn and watch it on the Monday night or whatever. Like,
well, and even then though, like I gotta be careful on social media the day before because it comes out on the Wednesday in the UK.
Oh yeah.
Like that's just like its normal date that it's coming out. So gotta be a little bit careful on the good old interwebs. But yeah, the second reason was also I'm going to the Roughnecks home opener on the 17th. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just look for tickets for the Thursday then. Might as well.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for that movie as well. I got so many different theories. But again, you haven't watched the trailers of that, so I can't talk to you about it here. But if you'd like to see some Spider-Man stuff, just theories, talk about that kind of stuff, you can you can send it my way at Tate Noms on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, we should do like the week before or sometime before this movie comes out, we should do an unplucked, and I'll just like fuck off for half an hour or however long it takes you to talk. You can bring on, I know Richie from the Sporty Show is big into the Marvel movies, so you can bring him on. Yeah, I won't be upset. No hard feelings. Yeah.
No, I was actually going to say, because the idea I had that when you started to bring this up was we do a episode where we touch on the Sam Raimi trilogy. And then we do an episode where we touch on the Mark Webb trilogy.
Oh, yeah. We could do that, too.
Yeah. That'd be fun. So, because I got to rewatch those movies anyway, because as much as they're not being shown in promotional material, you know that Toby and Andrew are back. Just give them to me already. Just give them to me already. I had one friend who piped up in a group chat of them, and I just saw it on my phone. He's like, okay, just hear me out for a second. It's not going to be normal Toby, it's going to be the symbiote version. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, actually. That'd be kind of dope.
With like the swoopy hair, and he walks in and just does the hair flip. And
yeah. And then they're all going to go get black suits, like tuxedos, not black Spider-Man costumes. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to do a dance together.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. It'll be great. So.
Anyways. Tying it back, I don't really have anything else hockey-wise to say. Do you have anything else hockey-wise that you want to say?
No, there's one more quick thing here. This I don't want to dive in too much. I just want to prove something here, all right?
Okay, sure.
Carter, who is a player that since 2016 I have said is overrated, was a contributor at least to the Stanley Cups that he won, but was not the main factor. There was somebody else as well. Mm-hmm. A few other people. Who was just, you know, we talked earlier about an average goaltender behind a well in this case, a average goaltender behind a good team. I just said it's ever since he kind of was given the reins, it has not lived up to the hype. Just, and I don't think will. Who is that guy? Who is that goaltender?
I'm between two guys right now. The first guy I'm thinking, because you said Stanley Cup champion, playing behind a really solid team, but it's really only average at best. First guy I'm thinking, Andrei Vasilevskiy. Second guy I'm thinking. And then the second guy I'm thinking is recently traded and also has cups, obviously, and just got put on waivers, and I feel like it's that one, so I'm going to go with, who is Matt Murray?
I just want to say that I was fucking right, and I've been proven every single year about this guy. Just going to throw it out there. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that I have been on, and yeah, Carter will attest to this, I have been on that track since that first Stanley Cup that he got in 2016 as the rookie, that he's just, He's an average goalie at best that was just behind a good team.
Yeah, no,
he's not anything special. Yeah. So
I was joking, by the way, when I said Andrei Vasilevskiy.
I thought you were like actually kind of like, I thought you actually had that in your mind kind of thing. Like you knew who I was talking about, obviously, but just like that mentality of it. I was going to be like, dude, you're going to have a lot of people pissed at you for a second here.
Dude, zero people with at least one brain cell have that opinion. If you have that opinion,
That is a very good goalie behind a very good team.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That's why it's practically unstoppable. So, for now at least. But, I just wanted to say that I was right about Matt Murray. The guy's currently on waivers playing with the Belleville Senators. So, yeah.
And with that,
I don't say it often. I just wanted to say that I was right. Or have at least been proven right so far.
So far. Yeah.
You know it's bad when Anton Forsberg has worse numbers than you and the coaching staff straight up tells you that we need a guy who will get us some wins. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that they go with. Yeah. Nothing on Anton Forsberg because he's kind of in the same situation, right? Of like, you know, he's just behind a rough Senators team right now. But you know you're rough when. And I mean, it's not much better numbers, but still.
Yeah, no. And it's a smaller sample size, too. But
yeah.
But yeah, with that, we got a quick what's quacking.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll talk upcoming games as well. But we'll throw it to break here first and see you guys on the other side.
Yeah.
Hi. In case you're not from Brazil, where we are now very famous, allow us to introduce ourselves.
We're Cam.
All Canada division that is
Canada.
The all Canada.
Chris.
You trade those two guys for a clone machine and you clone Trent Frederick and you have a whole fourth line of Trent Fredericks.
And Drew.
Didn't he drop a not like actually take a but the guy said
Our podcast kind of definitely started out as a joke and we've decided to keep it that way. But that's why we surround ourselves with smart people who really know what they're talking about.
Game and a half that she played, she looked so dominant and just
such a good spot on this team.
And he'll take off in terms of being more active in the O zone and you know, being more active in the transition game.
Because there is so much involved with technical development and physical development and injuries that can really impact it. So
tune in.
The Bruins and Bruins podcast. In the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehard.
Those guys are so funny.
They are.
I know. I said
they are good. Even if you're not a Bruins fan, like I'm definitely not, they are a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Back to Hockey Talk. Since we took a pretty big detour there.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Really just one upcoming game before the next episode here. Friday against the visiting Calgary Flames. That game is 7 p.m. Pacific time. I put this in here. I don't know why. Monday, we're going to Washington. 4 p.m. start. Local time, yep. Pacific time. So, cool. But we'll kind of mostly touch on the Calgary one. Division matchup for... Is Calgary first or second in the division? Because I know it keeps going back.
Calgary is sitting first right now, I believe.
Are they?
Yes, they are sitting first.
Oh, yes. 31 points in 22 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Edmonton, 30 points, 20 games. And then Anaheim, 27 and 23. So, yeah, transfer Edmonton to close, or Anaheim, sorry. I was looking at Edmonton when I said that. For Anaheim to close the gap a little bit on Calgary there, or for Calgary to potentially widen their gap Anaheim there. So, very important divisional game. Trying to look at this from a totally unbiased perspective because everyone knows how much I hate Calgary here.
I'm trying to look at it because I'm a fan of both teams.
Yeah. I'm scared for this game against Calgary because their goaltending has been phenomenal so far between Markstrom and Vladar. So
yes, you're correct. What I'm looking at purely is just the team overall, their record, specifically on the road. Anaheim at home, 8-4-1. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Calgary on the road, 9-2-2.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting. Yeah. I honestly don't know how this game is going to go. I literally have no idea.
Could go either way, but not to be the pessimist or anything like that on the Anaheim side, but I don't. There's a reason right now that reporters have straight up said, if your team is playing the Calgary Flames, like on this night kind of thing, go find something else to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that they are saying that. And that's because this team is dominating right now. Like like I said, I was at the game against Pittsburgh on Monday. They dominated that game. I was keeping an eye even on like the deserval beater throughout. And I'm like, okay, it's gotta be like around this. It was even higher than that. Like a good part of it, even at 1-0, was like over 80% in favor for the Flames. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Tristan Jarry was lights out though for the Penguins. It was some of the saves that he made were just unbelievable.
Yeah. Cause it was still a pretty close game, was it not?
Yeah. I think it went to like the sixth round of the shootout with Michael Backlund scoring. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like this will be a tough match for the Ducks. As much as there's only like two spots between them, this is going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, for sure. It is the second half of a back-to-back. They are in the Flames are in LA beforehand. I've always kind of been under the impression that the second half of a back-to-back is you're at a disadvantage when you're doing that. But I honestly don't think I believe that anymore. I think there's even stats I've seen to prove that. On the second half of a back-to-back, teams tend to do better.
Yeah.
It's wild. I don't really understand why. Maybe you're just like in the groove of it from last night. You're switching up the goaltender, so you play a different way. I really don't know what it is, but
yeah. I think it kind of depends as well on how much travel you have. It'll be a little bit different for Calgary because it's just hop, skip, and a jump from LA to Anaheim, right?
Exactly.
But if you have even a Toronto to Montreal or something like that, which the Flames had earlier in November there, was not great for them. Like they did better in the second game, but they still lost in overtime. Because it was a for the Flames, at least, it was a 4-2 loss to the Montreal Canadiens and then a 2-1 overtime loss to Toronto. I'm just taking a look at their back-to-back records. Mm-hmm. The one before that was the Rangers and then the Devils, wins in both. And is that... Oh, that's preseason. Okay. I was like, did they have a fucking back-to-back, like, right to start the season? Because I just saw, like, Edmonton being the first game and then Vancouver, but...
Yeah.
No, that was not the case, so...
Yeah, so I have no idea how this game's going to go. I guess we called up Buddy Robinson, did we not? Former Flame,
yeah.
Buddy Robinson.
Yeah.
Also, big, tough guy. We still have Delorier and, you know, that whole bottom six that's very tough. I know we play with speed and our bottom six is still speedy, but there's still a lot of toughness down there. And even if Getzlaff comes back, he's a pretty tough guy in the top six. So I don't know. I think hopefully we dress a little bit of a tougher team than we usually do, because obviously that's how you have to play against Daryl Sutter teams, right? I mean, the Ducks should know that by now. But
yeah, especially after playing the Kings for so many years too.
Yeah, so I hope that we see a little bit more of that, and maybe, I don't know, I still want to play that fast game because that's our game, and I think that's when we do really well. But unfortunately, we do have to, this isn't how I want to word this, but it's what I have, stoop to that level of playing just like an aggressive game. It's not the right way of putting it, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'd say realistically, honestly, these teams they're built pretty similar, just the play styles are a little bit different, right? Calgary's really good with stopping you in the neutral zone and that kind of thing. If Anaheim's able to break through that, they got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and yeah, I honestly, I think that's one of our, I don't know, it's not one of our skills. It's one of the things we've improved on, is breaking through the neutral zone and, you know, getting the puck actually into the defensive zone rather than just dump and chase, like actually carrying it in. So I think if we can do that, we'll have a good chance. If not, we're fucked. We're talking like 5-0 loss. Oof. Probably.
All right. I'm not even going to try to make a prediction this.
My realistic prediction, I think I want to say 3-2 Calgary. I hate predicting Calgary wins, but I'm hoping, because I tend to be very bad at predicting hockey outcomes, that if I predict the Flames win, I'm actually wrong. So
there you go.
That's my guess if I had to say something, but like I said, fair I have enough. No clue. So do you want to talk about this Washington game or?
We'll get to that next episode, I think. Okay. So
sure. Okay. What's cracking then?
I'm just pulling up the questions here that I forgot, so I just added that into the outline. We got two questions here. They're pretty easy questions, I think. Or we can get through them relatively quick.
Okay.
So we got this first one here from our buddy Chris at CJKChell on Twitter, who asks, Sonny Milano, elite? Yes.
Oh, that's the question.
That's the question. Yeah. Playing with Trevor Zegras and Ricard Raquel? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So,
yeah. Chris, you know I'm high on Sonny Milano. I love the sunrise. All right. And the, I don't know, is there anything else that you want to add to that?
Nope.
I did reply to it. Easy question, easy answer kind of thing. So we got this one as well from another friend of the show, Kevin McCarty at KevMac1213, who asks, at what point do we legitimately think playoffs? Are we there already? And I think I am. Playoffs. I want to see a little bit more from this team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could. I'm definitely feeling that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this next month. I think we'll kind of determine in my head if this team can be a playoff. Playoff team. So
yeah, I think if we right now we're at a 587 points percentage. If we can maintain that kind of just above 500, I think that puts us in a good position to stay in the playoffs. The wild card looks like it's getting tougher because, I mean, Nashville's kind of in and out of the wild card. San Jose and Dallas are currently in the wild card. Vegas is sneaking up there, and you can never count Vegas out of that. Yeah. So
this game going on right now is really imperative, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are, I mean, Vegas is getting all their guys back. Stone came back a few weeks ago. Patch Reddy came back last week. Eichel's going to be back eventually.
Yeah, so, like March, April, it sounds like. So
yeah, like I'm not going to count Vegas out until they are like, until we get to the point where they have to go like 20-2 over the end of the season if they want to make the playoffs. Exactly. Like if we hit that point, then I'm like, okay, probably not.
Probably not, but.
Yeah, but. If they're right there, they're probably going to make it in. They're a very experienced team, which is weird because they're one of the newest. But like,
yeah,
just in terms of the actual players and like that they've made kind of deeper runs already, like they know what they're doing. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, those are the two fan questions that we got.
Cool.
Got a couple of quick things for What's Quacking. I also took one off as well, just to kind of see the time that we're at.
Oh, sure.
I want to catch some of this game, and I still got a shit ton of homework to do. So.
Yeah, fair.
All right, so found this the other day. We're just going to give you some things to just blow your mind, all right? Just a little bit.
Okay.
So I found this. So gorillas, all right?
Yes.
Gorillas.
They're like Harambe?
Yeah. You know, pray for them. they're pretty massive animals, right? Like muscular, like they're very strong, strong beings. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, though, gorillas don't know any bodybuilding or powerlifting techniques. So we've probably never seen a gorilla at full strength. How terrifying is that thought?
That's pretty terrifying, honestly. Because like they could easily just like pick you up and rip you in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just like Christmas cracker style, grab you from both ends, bang.
Yep. That's it. It has the too.
Yeah, exactly. And then candy falls out and like a little
pink
tissue paper hat, and there's like a little joke that the gorilla can read and laugh at.
Oh my god. Oh. All right. The other thing here is this is comedian Pete Holmes, and he's just talking about just things in the world with science and whatnot that just don't make fucking sense. So here you go. Enjoy.
Nothing makes fucking sense. Life makes no sense. You're on a planet right now. You think you're in America? Zoom out. You're on a space rock floating in nothingness, infinite nothingness, and the infinite nothingness is expanding. That means endlessness is getting bigger. That makes no fucking sense. We all just act like it's normal. Like, oh, we're everything's made of molecules. Okay. Got it. I'll never think about that again. This stool is made of molecules, the same molecules in my hand. And you know when I knock these molecules into these molecules, when we ask science, why don't they go through each other? You know what the answer is? We don't know. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
He's got a point, though, like with some of those, right? Like,
yeah,
like we are on a, as he said it, we are on a space rock floating through endless nothingness, and the nothingness is getting bigger somehow.
Yeah, that's mind blowing. The thing, too, where like, when you hit your hand on something, why doesn't it go through? Like, if I drop this pen right now, I'm not going to because it's like a very, very nice pen and I need a pen. It's going to fall and it's going to go through my floor and never be seen again. So how come that, those molecules can fall through each other, but my hand can't? It's dumb.
Don't know. Makes no fucking sense.
I
just want to see what else I can find that just doesn't make any fucking sense kind of thing. I love those videos that are just like, like the kind of the mind blowing ones are just things you don't think about kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Do it up. Not right now, obviously, but for next time. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just,
absolutely.
I like finding those things. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got. I did. Yeah. I took out the one thing. Unless you want me to throw it in. Do we have time for it?
Yeah, sure.
It's short. Okay.
Yeah.
So some people like may have already seen this specifically. I think it's hilarious though. So also news today, that Brendan Lemieux was suspended for 5 games from the LA Kings for biting Brady Kachuk's hand, which
is wild.
Yeah, like who bites somebody in a fight, first of all.
Lemieux.
Excuse me. But yeah, but apparently these two have like a long history actually that goes back to them being like teenagers, which I think is great.
Mm. Yeah.
And so Brady Tkachuk had just gone off about Lemieux after the game.
Which is a hilarious read.
Oh yeah, it's so good. Look it up and read it for sure. But to add to it, somebody had put in a cameo request to have Gilbert Gottfried read the transcription of what Brady Tkachuk said at his press conference. So this is that, and just Gottfried's voice, perfect for this sort of stuff. Oh, so yeah. I'm gonna throw this up here.
Chuck was furious. This is the one time I'm going to answer this, said Doc Chuck. It was the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. This guy, you can ask any one of his own teammates, nobody ever wants to play with him. This guy is a bad guy and a bad teammate. He focuses on himself all the time. The guy's just a joke. He shouldn't be in the league. The guy's gutless. No other team wants him. He's going to keep begging to be in the NHL. No other team is going to want him. He's an absolute joke. I can't even wrap my head around it. People don't even do this. He's just a bad guy. Tkachuk didn't stop there either. It's outrageous. Kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that. And I don't even know when he was thinking. He just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player. What a joke he is. Tkachuk.
That's perfect.
Gilbert Gottfried saying he's an absolute brickhead. I can't even do his voice. Like, yeah, no. Nobody can top him, obviously. But like, no. He's an absolute brickhead. That has got to be one of the best chirps we have heard this season.
Yeah.
So far. Like,
He's
an absolute brickhead. Like, It just feels like such a Tkachuk thing to say, whether it's Brady, whether it's Maddie, whether it's Keith. It just sounds like a Tkachuk thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know that Keith was out there like when Matt and Brady were kids and they were disturbing shit in the basement or whatever. You know that he was calling them brickheads.
Yeah, that's got to be something I got to add to my repertoire at this point. But it even goes back to Keith and Claude Lemieux. Like this whole rivalry, I believe is it the 96 or 98 World Cup of Hockey that like those two fought in, like an international competition, and those two fought. So,
I loved him trying to pronounce Tkachuk, like
Tkachuk, like and it was different every single time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that much better that like he has no idea what he's actually talking about. He's just like reading the words. But
in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like he's gonna like slowly read it out.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's so perfect. I'm glad that somebody did this.
Thank you to whoever put your hardworking money towards that. That was brilliant. You're making the world a better place with that.
Absolutely. Gilbert here, he actually sounds like someone from Big Mouth. I think it's the like Andrew's dad he kind of sounds like.
Oh, I can kind of hear that.
Yeah, I looked it up because I was he's not in Big Mouth, but no, it's not. But it's very similar. So
yeah, I do hear that now that you say it. So which I gotta finish that new season. I just haven't gotten a chance to.
Oh, it's so good.
Yep.
Once you do, we got to talk about the last episode, like even just me and you. It's the last episode.
Yeah, I don't know how in depth we can really go about that show on here. Like,
not
we,
at all.
We can
not
get to
all.
Some places, but I don't know if we can go that far.
Yeah, no.
So,
but yeah. All right. Where can they send you your Spider-Man theories, Nate?
You can send them to me at Tate Nomas, TateNHomas. Do not spoil it for me, by the way, as well. Yeah, I know theories. We're a couple weeks away. Yeah, theories. don't spoil it for me, because you know that just make you an absolute brickhead. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Do it.
Don't.
No.
Just
don't do it.
Don't do it. You kind of made it work.
Yeah. Man, I got so many different ideas just for like after credits or with certain characters or something like that. Like, just you can just make so many like meta jokes and what. Sorry, I know we're trying to wrap this up, but just like different meta jokes of like, because like everybody's kind of getting put together, it seems, right? Because like you had like Venom tossed over, supposed like through that was at the end of Venom 2, I guess. But like you could have like the two J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jamesons together kind of thing. I said it would be hilarious though, actually. Was if the whole Venom thing was purely for hype. It would absolutely piss people off, but it would be brilliant to have like the after credit scene of Spider-Man. Let's like, right? Show Venom go, like heading towards whatever the end battle is, right? And he's like so close, so close. And then he gets sent back to his own universe. And he just they never actually like meet or anything like that. I think that'd be hilarious. Just like it would piss so many people off of like we didn't actually get to see that. Mm-hmm. But it'd be so funny as well, because it'd just be purely for hype and a good laugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, we got all this like anticipation. We're gonna have Tom Hardy's Venom and Tom Holland's Spider-Man. And nope, not at all. Think so.
It's the equivalent of what's his fucking name? My god, why am I blanking? Evan Peters showing up in WandaVision. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the Ralph Boner thing. Yeah. I would absolutely love it. I think it'd be hilarious. I would not be mad personally. I think it'd be so funny. So
but yeah. You can tell Nate all about his good ideas at his handle.
Send me more theories, send me more stupid meta jokes that they can have in the movies. But that meme though of like the three Spider-Men pointing at each other, the two originally, because from the 60s cartoon, if they don't have that, like I know they technically did that in Spider-Man.
That's a swing and a miss, yeah.
But if they don't do something like that, that's a missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can also engage with him at Quack Report Pod. I'm playing the music, so you can't say anything else. We're done. You can engage with me at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97. Thank you guys very much for listening. Let's go, Ducks, and we will see you guys on Monday.
Oh, wait, what about this thing?